Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so if I can't see you, then I'm going to ask you to come to the front. So hopefully I can see everybody. Okay. All right, well, welcome to Illuminate. This is the very first time I've done Illuminate, so bear with me. But I hope you'll enjoy the message that I'll bring forth. I do want to go ahead and just open up with a word of prayer. Real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this day that you blessed us with. Allow me to bring the word, bring the speech here to this group of fine students, Lord, and just thank you for just allowing me to be before you, Lord, Father God. And we're coming from scriptures, we're coming from the Bible, from your word, and so just use me as a vessel and allow them to receive what I have for them through you in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so does everybody have a handout? If you don't, they're on the back table. So self-image is the topic for this morning. So I'm just going to let you know I am a person that likes to have audience participation. I did warn my mentoring group that I may call on you to help me out. So just keep that in mind, okay? Because that's about your image. That's about yourself. So I've passed out some scriptures. And like I said, anytime I come before anybody speaking about any type of topic, especially in our environment, we want to always come from the Bible. We want to come from scripture because it's the gospel. You know, you've probably seen that commercial about the internet. You know, the internet can't lie. You know, everybody believes the internet. Well, the gospel can't lie, right? Right? Okay. So, first scripture, Genesis 1 and 26, King James Version said, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So what does that mean? What does that scripture mean to you all? Anybody? Let us. What does let us make when God said that? Let us make. Who is he referring to? Himself? Holy Spirit? Who else? Who? That's right. So if we're made in his image, then what are we? We are like God. We are like Jesus. We are like the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about what is image, you know, we see image as material, physical, you know, the dress I have on, the hat I have on. But really, what does image mean? You know, what does the image mean? When I see James walking down the hallway, what am I seeing? I'm seeing a physical image, but what is his self-image? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We know it's a mental picture of oneself, but we're really going to kind of go a little deeper into what self-image is. Because we know what the saying is, image is everything, right? You know, what is it? Is it a basketball or, you know, just do it, your image? Well, we're going to talk about the image of God and how that relates and transforms into our lives. Because self-image, should it define you? And these are questions to kind of think about. Should it define you? Should your image define you, what you wear on the outside, or should it be what's on the inside, right? And then we're going to kind of compare and contrast. Because, again, you've got image and you got self-image. And how many of y'all know there's a difference between the two? You know, like I said, image is the physical, mental, but then your self-image is who you are. Because my self-image is going to be different from Robert's self-image, from James' self-image. We're all going to have different images. Although we're created the same from God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we all have a different image. So we're not just material. So another thing to think about is why be concerned about self-image? You know, just to kind of tell you a little bit about, like Eric said, 15 years higher education, went to school, got a social degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree, all that fun stuff. But throughout that transition, I had to find who I was. But maybe less than 10 years ago, I had to find who I was in Christ. I had to find who I was because I was letting the world define me. You know, growing up in school, you know, even though I may not be in school like you all, I had peer pressure. I had those peer pressure to where, you know, I was ridiculed on the bus. You know, I'll just tell you a story. My brother would always run late every time, and I had to catch the bus. And so we're running, literally chasing the bus in a car. And so when I get on the bus, people don't want to let me sit down. So that peer pressure existed back then and still now. They didn't want to let me sit down because they were looking at ridiculing me because my brother was late. I probably didn't dress the best. You know, I was in high school. You know, I was concerned about sports and just kind of hanging out. But it lets you know that we can't be of this world. You know, we live in this world, but the Bible clearly says we're not of this world. So we have to transcend that into ourselves and identify ourselves and not have to always be with the in crowd. And that's what I did all throughout high school. You know, I wasn't really in the in crowd. You know, people, you know, may look at me now and say, oh, you probably were a cheerleader and this and this and this. I didn't do any of that. I went to school and I went home. And that pretty much was it. But my self-image of myself back then, when I look back, you know, I was, like I said, I was ridiculed, and it kind of hurt me, but moving forward, when I found myself in Christ, I was a new creature, and I said, old things have been passed, you know, have gone and passed away, but I couldn't let those things dictate where I'm going moving forward. So when I come across those individuals that, you know, I was in high school with, they ridiculed me, I don't condemn them, I don't look down on them, you know, I continue to show them love, because that's how my image was transformed within Christ to walk in love. Right? Because what happens? You get one chance to make a good impression. And if we're supposed to be Christians, we're Dallas Christian College, we're studying ministry. I mean, that's your purpose, like President Rubek said it. That's your purpose of being here. So what do you want to do? You want to have an image of God to always walk in love. And I know it's difficult. Believe you me. Like Eric said, I'm a church coordinator at the church. And by all means, church people can be the worst people to deal with. You know, they feel that they're obligated. They feel that they should have this and that. I'm an elder. I'm a minister, you know. But what happens? We have to walk in love, because I'm a reflection of the church that I work in, as well as I'm a reflection of God. And so I have to continue to always stay in the spirit, because how many of y'all know you're a spiritual being, right? You may be a physical flesh, blood flowing through your body, but you're a spiritual being. And so that's why we have to continue to always stay in God's word. Another scripture: God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So although I may be female, he's male, we're still created in the same image of God. And so we have to see each other. You know, when you look in the mirror every day, what do you see? Are you happy with what you see? Are you sad? You should be happy, because God created you to be individual, and you are who you are. You have your own style, and I'm a kind of a person where I tell stories throughout my, you know, conversations, so just bear with me, because I found myself in a previous job trying to conform to, again, the world. You know, I was trying to fit into a shell that they were in so they would accept me. Once again, pressure. So peer pressure comes in all shapes, forms, fashions, and ages. And so I had to come to a realization that that's not me. That's not the gifts that God has blessed me with. So whatever gifts God has given you, that's part of your image. That's part of your self-image. That allows you to be who you are. And so with that being said, how do you want to be remembered? You know, when you leave Dallas Christian College, how do you want to be remembered? You want people to say, oh, she was great. She was on fire. She was livelihood. You know, you could go to her and her, she walked the walk and talked the talk. She just wasn't saying, I'll do this and I'll do that, but didn't do it. Because those individuals that we bring back to speak, those are individuals that made a difference when they were here. Or if they were a spouse or someone, they made a difference. And so therefore, that's why they were asked to come back. And so that's something that, you know, you all want to aspire to, because you never know who's watching you. You'd be surprised. You know, those of you all that are going to work in the ministry, maybe working in churches now, you'd be surprised who watches you. I mean, from the kids to the elderly folks. I sing in the choir, and we have a young, well, not young lady, an older lady, bless her heart. Her name is Sister Richardson. And she knows everybody's birthday. She keeps up with anniversaries. She buys gifts. Now, mind you, you know, she's an older person, retired. So her gifts are in the form of those little Jesus figurines. And so me and my husband have a whole slate of those. However, she watches us. She pays attention. And although she's in her transition of salvation, she's watching to see, are we going to continue in that same image every day? Are we going to walk in love? Are we going to accept her and not, you know, ridicule her because she gave me a dollar gift, you know? I mean, it's funny and it's cute, but it comes from the heart. And those are the types of things that we want to internalize to make sure that our image is going to be of a person that's admired and respected. You know, you hear that saying, you got to earn respect. Well, in essence, sometimes you do. But how many of you know, as long as you're living in the righteousness of God, that's given, right? Because as long as you're following what God has in his plan for you, you don't have to worry about the world, because the world is going to conform to you, not you conforming to the world. You know, a lot of students that may come and talk to me and say, oh, I don't think I fit in. You know, I'm having trouble. What should I do? Et cetera, et cetera. Well, you should do nothing. You wait on God. You pray about that situation, because that's what's going to make you strong. That's what's going to give you the power and the strength, because, again, you're a spiritual being. And so with that being said, you're a child of the Most High God. You're a king. You know, you belong to a king. And so, therefore, you have to walk in that. And that's part of your image. You know, image is not just your, like I said, your outer appearance. It's who you are as a person. Who am I, Dana? Who am I, Dana Mingo? You know, born Shadana Mingo. Who am I? You know, raised, went to school, married, have children, enjoyed life. But who am I? And what am I here for? And what is my purpose? My purpose in life. Do you all know what your purpose in life is? I mean, I'll just tell you up front. 5 years ago is when I realized what my purpose was. And I'm 25. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? But seriously, you have to think about, what is your purpose? You're here at Dallas Christian College and you're studying various programs. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? You know, what are you going to be giving back to the community, giving back to the ministry in order to make you who you are, your foundation? Because anytime a person approaches you, they're approaching you because they feel that you have an open heart or an open mind. You know, you want to be approachable. You want to have somebody who is not afraid to come up to you. And I'll admit, you know, coming to Dallas Christian College, you know, Becky and I were probably the least people you wanted to talk to, because we were new. You didn't know anything about us. And then, of course, we work in financial services. And so people tend to not want to deal with people when it comes to money. But how many of y'all know you always want to keep people dealing with money, you know, right next to you, your best friends, because we're here to help you. But as you get to know people, then you understand who they are and what they're about. And like Eric said, I've had 15 years of experience working with students, and I love students. You know, I do the work, but I enjoy being out with the students. I enjoy, and I was so glad when Eric and Mark asked me to mentor a group and also speak, because I like that connection. I like connecting with people, you know, that are younger than me, older than me, but I just like that connection because I'm a relationship type person. However, I do have to realize that I have to continue to watch my image. I have to watch my facial expressions. I have to watch my demeanor. You know, if I get a student that just comes in and just annoys me every single day, I still have to walk in love, and I still have to give them my undivided attention, right? Because image is, like I said, is everything. It's not just your appearance. It's your mind, your body, and your soul. It's all of that rolled up into one that makes you who you are. The next scripture we have is, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So that reference is talking about Adam having a son. And so his son is in the image of him because he birthed him. Well, he didn't birth him, but he was his father. So therefore, he was in the image of him. So just like God is to us, it's the same thing. We're in the image of God. So many people probably think, okay, what does God look like? And, you know, God made us in all shapes and forms and fashions and colors. So in my mind, God is all of that. And so when I look at my sister or my brother, who may not be of the same shade, I still see them as my sister and my brother. I don't see a color difference. I don't see a shape difference. I don't see where you came from. I see you, the person who loves Christ, and so I want to get next to you. And so that way I can grow spiritually and I can grow in the direction that I want to be in. Because I'm a firm believer that in order for you to love anyone else, especially when it comes to if you get married or dating, you got to love yourself. And that's part of your self-image. That's part of who you are. Because it's difficult for you to go and love somebody else and say, I want to get married, when you can't stand yourself. Because what's going to happen? You're going to demonstrate that outwards. And I've been married 13 years. And, you know, I tell my husband, the first 10 years, I couldn't stand him. Literally, I could not stand him. But it wasn't him, it was me. Because I was changing myself to fit into this wifely duty, what he wanted to eat, where he wanted to go, and I forgot about myself. And so when you lose yourself in relationships or peer pressure or things like that, then you turn inward, and then you exuberate that on the outside to where you start taking it out on people. You know, you start being negative towards people, and then you have all this anger that's kind of built up. And that's not the way God wants us to be. So in order for us to understand who we are, we've got to get in the Word of God, and we have to figure out, God, why am I here? What is my purpose? You made me in your image to do what? What am I doing? What am I doing? What is my purpose here? Because I want to be a minister, be a pastor, but what is it going to take in order to accomplish that? And so I have to make sure that I love myself, I trust myself, and then I believe in myself. So when I do go out there, and whether I start dating and get married or take a job or whatever the case may be, individuals see the God in me when I walk through the door. You know, when you walk in a door, people should see, okay, it's something about him. It's something about her, you know. I want to give you a card. I don't know why, but it's something about you because you're demonstrating something that I don't understand. And so with that being said, that person will start to draw close to you. And then they'll see the God in you, and then they'll be like, wow, you know, the words that you say, you can walk into a room, you shouldn't even have to say anything. People would just say, wow, you know, I want to get next to him, next to her. Or when you do open your mouth to speak, they're like, wow, hanging on every word and not doodling or doing other things or whatever the case may be. That's all about image. You know, I'm a firm believer that you never know where you may be, who you may come across, what, you know, opportunity you may have. So when I step out the door, whether I'm going to the store, the gas station, you know, I'm going to at least look a little decent because, again, although I am the image of God, I still have to be representing him, okay? So that means my hair is not going to be flying all over my head, you know, my pants aren't going to be way down my butt, you know. I'm not going to show all, you know, all these type of appearances where people will not look at me who I am and say, oh, I'm a minister, but yet they're seeing all these other things that they can't relate to. They're seeing all the, you know, I'm not knocking tattoos. My son has tattoos. He gets tattoos every other week. But those are things that people are going to look at. So you have to think about that when you are moving in your ministry, whatever it is you're wanting to do in Christ, because people are going to look at that. They shouldn't. But until they get to the point that you are in Christ, you know, unfortunately, they're going to judge you. But you have to look past that and say, I am the righteousness of God. Okay? Now, I do have a little exercise for you. So, we've got four categories, okay? Four categories. And what I want you to do, you're going to have to get up and move around. Yes. You've got an eagle, a lion, a turtle, and a chameleon. So, all my eagles, I want you to go over here on this side of the room. Come on, come on, come on. Huh? If you think you're an eagle, as far as soaring over to the right, then you've got a lion. Okay, lion's going to be strength, powerful. They'll be over here. Don't everybody go over here to the lion. Okay, then you got your turtle. Turtle's just kind of, you know, I'm just going with the flow. Go back here in the right. And then you got your chameleon. You know, you may change from day to day. You don't know what you are today. People don't know how to relate to you in the back left. So eagles on the right, up front. Lions on the left, up front. Chameleons on the right. What did I say, chameleons or turtles? Where are my turtles? Turtles in the back right and chameleons in the back left. Okay, so now that you're in your groups, kind of talk about why you're an eagle. What makes you an eagle? What makes you a chameleon? What makes you a turtle? What makes you a lion? What are the characteristics? Just kind of talk amongst yourselves. You don't have to talk to the group. Just kind of talk amongst yourselves. I give you about 2 minutes just to kind of talk about it. Come on, spokesperson for turtles. Come on, Brina. Come on, Brina. All right.
Hi, Us turtles, we kind of go with the flow. You know, you see us, but you don't really know what we're all about. And we're cute. I heard distinguished, slow. And sometimes I say that I have fear of conflict. So when we see something happening, we kind of want to hide and go away from it because we're not into being, hey, here I am, here we are. So that's what us turtles are about.
All right. Thank you. Chameleons. Who's your spokesperson? Chameleons. Come on.
Okay, so chameleons are shy, and we're stubborn too, like lions, because none of us would get up. And so, yes, we change colors. Sometimes we're blue and sometimes we're purple. And I'm just joking. And I thought of this kind of, sort of, so how we change every day. We kind of have like different style. We're not, let's be moody. Okay, cool.
All right, good job. Good job. Okay, so interesting qualities. Does anybody think that they may be another animal? What? All of the above. Okay. So eagles, let me ask you a question. Why would you not be a lion? Okay. Okay, lions, why would you not be a chameleon?
Outgoing.
Okay, so chameleons, why would you not be an eagle? Yeah, you're a predator. You do stalk. Okay, turtles, why would you not be a lion? All right, so basically that exercise is just kind of to help you identify some characteristics that you have and what people may already perceive you to be, you know. I mean, I would have never thought that Jared was a lion. And that's because I'm not around him enough to see that he's loud. Well, now the turtle group, I know probably about 75% of you all, and I would agree yes, because you have that, you know, kind of like spirit of, you know, I'm just going to go with the flow. I don't have to be heard. But seen, you know. And then the eagles, I would say yes. I don't know everyone, but I would say yes just from your outward appearance and just kind of conversations that you've had, kind of quiet. Lions, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't even know everybody, and I can tell, yeah. Chameleons, that group, I'm going to have to work with you all. I'm going to have to work with you all. But chameleons, you never know. I mean, sometimes you may want to have a chameleon in your group because you never know what they're going to do or what they're going to say. So they're not going to go with the norm all the time. And so especially if you're trying to like plan or in your groups, work groups, then you want somebody who may be sporadic on an idea. It may not be, you know, taken by the group, but at least they'll come up with some new ideas. All right. All right. Good job. Y'all can stay in the groups or y'all can come back to your seats and we can wrap up here. So when we were talking about the various animals and the characteristics and how some of you all were saying, oh, I'm not that person, that animal, because I'm not loud or I'm not quiet or anything like that. So when you're talking about your image, you know, you got your healthy images and you got your unhealthy images. You know, you got your healthy images, which are your characteristics of, you know, I'm easygoing, you know, go with the crowd, go with the flow. And then you've got your unhealthy ones that can kind of damage your image. And I'm going to go ahead and tell it on myself. I have flaws. Yes, I have flaws. An example of one of my flaws is that I'm very competitive. I mean, I like sports. I like games. I like competition. I'm very competitive. I get to the point where I'm a totally different person, really. But God had to show me that I have to watch that. A prime example is I was playing a board game with my brothers one holiday not too long ago, Monopoly. And you all know Monopoly is like how long? 25,000 years long. And so I think part of it was I was a little irritated also. So I think they were cheating on me also because I'm the only girl. I have four brothers and I'm the only girl. And so I think they were cheating on me because they were kind of in cahoots and they were buying hotels and all this and properties and then just kind of left me by myself. And then when I was trying to buy some things, it didn't quite go that way. Yeah, hush. So what I did was I sat there and I just kind of meditated. I meditated on my next move. I said, okay, I'm a fix them. I'm going to figure out what I can do. And I sat there and I meditated and I took my hand and I destroyed the entire board. Money, hotels, property, all that. I know. And he can contest. You know, this is my brother, one of my brothers up here, Corey. He doesn't want me to tell people, but he can contest. But God had to show me that I have to remove myself from certain things because I literally destroyed that board. And I sat there like, yeah, how you like me now? And then I got up and I walked away. But that was meditated. That was premeditated. So when you hear, you know, about premeditated and murder and all that, when you sit there and you think about what you're going to do and how you're going to play it out, and like he said, that wasn't Christian-like. And it wasn't. But I was acting out of my flesh. And so I allowed, you know, my what I was thinking come on the outside instead of just kind of pushing it down. And so God had to show me that since I have a competitive spirit, that I have to stay away from certain things. So if you ask me to play a board game, it better be a quick board game. It better be Monopoly or anything like that because I will probably walk away. And those are just some things, some character flaws that we have to remember and become, you know, alert about. You know you have a flaw like I do, then I know, okay, if somebody says, oh, come do this with me, I'll say, no, I better not because I may walk out of love. And so we just have to remember that as Christians because we're not perfect. You know, even though God made us in his image, we're not perfect and he knows that we're not perfect. That's why the Bible says that we have to die daily and we have to meditate on his word day and night. And that food is not the only thing that we have to take in. We have to take in his word because we know that there are going to be individuals that are going to push our buttons, you know, that are people that are not saved, they're not walking in love, and that can just, you can walk out of here today and somebody could just push your button and then you can go off. And that's how people snap, you know, because they're not grounded in the word of God. And so you're fortunate that you are grounded and you're also in an environment that fosters that. So when you are going out there in the world and you do approach somebody who may challenge you, and believe you me, when you get out there and you start talking about you're a minister or you're a Christian, oh, they're going to challenge you. They're going to try to challenge you on the word of God. They're going to try to say some scriptures to you, throw some things at you, but they're trying to get you outside of your character and the character of God to see, are you truly a Christian? And so you have to be prepared. Like the Bible says, you got to always have your armor on all times, head plate, breastplate, everything, because the enemy is out there to literally kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to destroy the image that God has put in you because you are his child. And he knows that you are being prepared and set up for something great. Because, again, Dallas Christian College, you know, I came to this college and I was like, why are there not more students here? You know, why are there not more students here? The word of God, I mean, this environment, when I found out I was coming here, I was like, what? I get to go to chapel 2 or 3 times a week. You know, I'm in an environment. I get lunch. You know, I was excited because I'm excited about God. I'm excited about what he's doing in my life and then what he's done for me and transformed me into who I am and continue to grow. And so when I'm out there talking to students or talking to anybody, whether they're adults, you know, I'm telling them about Dallas Christian College. It's a great school, great students. They like to have fun, you know, and that's what it's about because individuals want to see the God in you to not be all dreary and down and depressed, because if I walk up to Chris and, you know, hey, Chris, how you doing? Oh, I don't know, just one of those days. Every day, you know, I'm a question. Well, Chris, you know, are you studying? Are you reading your Bible? What's going on? Because as Christians, we should be what? Happy, excited. We're going to have trials and tribulations, but yet we just have to continue to stay grounded in the Word of God and that He'll make it all right. I mean, even when you're having your trials with your school and your instructors, your finances, you just have to give that to God, because you have to continue to maintain that image of God that He has for you so you can go out there and spread the gospel and whatever that may be. Does anybody have any questions? No? No lions? Y'all don't have any questions? So in closing, I just want you to kind of think about it. And I put it on the paper for you also. And keep those scriptures. Read on them. Study them. Meditate them. Meditate on them to find out who you are. You know, how do you want to be remembered? How do you want others to remember you? When you leave Dallas Christian College, how do you want to be remembered? When you go and touch a mission group, or you travel, or any of you all doing Kingdom Week, how do you want to be remembered? Or if you think, okay, my image may not be what I want it to be, how can I change it? What can I do to make my image in the image of God like I was supposed to be? And then reflect on that. Because God's plan is for us to walk in His image. His plan is for us to walk as Jesus walked here on earth in love. You know, we're not perfect, but we sure can strive to be. Because we were created after Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three Trinity, you know, that's very powerful. You know, you all know, you say the word of Jesus, say Jesus Christ, and that takes power. And that should be the same thing with your image. Your image should be powerful. How you see yourself, how you feel about yourself, it should be powerful. And so that will demonstrate anytime you go into any type of environment, because, again, like I keep saying, you're a spiritual being. We're a spiritual being. You know, we have the power to speak to things, speak to mountains, tell those mountains to move, get out of my way, rebuke the enemy, you know, daily. That should be something that you say daily, rebuke the enemy daily, because, again, he's out to destroy us who are trying to move forward in the kingdom of God. And be proud, because you're each beautiful in your own way and strong. And so as you grow, for those of you that are young, especially when you, you know, get married and have kids, you want to demonstrate those same types of characteristics, because although they'll look like you, they'll take on your characteristic. And if you're one of those individuals that are quick to anger, you'll have a child that's going to be quick to anger. So you have to watch that. I want to thank you all for allowing me to come before you. I've had a good time. I hope you enjoyed the message and that you'll take it forward in your daily walk with God. And that you'll just remember, just take away one thing. You don't have to, you know, be a person that knows all the scriptures, but you just get one word, and that one word will help you throughout the day, and that's all that you'll need. You know, one word from God will keep you grounded, keep you directed, and keep you moving forward. All right? Okay, then we're done. Thank you.